Sometime this afternoon, that song came to my mind. I'm not even sure why. I think about that song and I kind of wonder maybe it was because I'm missing so many of the brothers and sisters that worship here with us from time to time. I certainly do. Or maybe possibly I'm feeling a little bit worried or increasing anxiety over the idea of so many preachers that I know in the last couple of months that have gone on into their retirement and the peace, the passing on into their rest. And possibly it was because of the loss of some very, very close brethren and some very close friends. Whatever the reason is, I still feel really blessed. And I feel blessed because there's something behind all of this, something that binds all of us who believe in Jesus Christ and remain faithful to Him. It's the tie of Christian love, the tie of fellowship that we share together in Christ, the power of God's Word and the ability that He gives us to love one another. That song by that very name, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. And I'd like to meditate just a little bit today on what it is we're listening to as we sing that beautiful, beautiful hymn that we just sang together. And we begin with two thoughts. First of all, you know, in Romans chapter 12 at verse 5, so we being many, Paul writes, are one body. We're one body. You know, it's kind of like all the cells in a single human body working together, the sinew, the bones, the muscles, every part of the body is all working together. And so even though we might be separate spiritually, we're one body. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. The words of this song, we take opportunity tonight and we reflect on the song and we think, you know, we're all members of one another and we have a very special bond that comes together through Christ, through our faith. And simply, yet beautiful, this song, it describes that beautiful bond. Blessed be the tie. The words were written by a fellow named John Fawcett, if I pronounce that right, and the melody by another fellow arranged by Lowell Mason, 1845. It's an old song. But blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Consider, first, as we look at this, what it is not. This is not the kind of blessed be the tie that we're talking about. This tie is not an earthly tie. It's kind of like when Jesus says, my peace I leave with you, but not the peace of the world, but the peace that Jesus gives us. It's not like anything in this world, but this tie is not like anything in this world. The relationship that we have, not like anything in this world. It's not just a friendship. It's not like the tie of a marriage bond. It's not even just simply family. And all of these, you know, they're all good social, physical ties. But it's not that. It's not that. And as we go on, you know, it's not broken like any other kind of tie. In our world today, whatever tie people have, they have a tendency to break them. You know, the relationship they have with wives, there's separations, incompatibility, even in the first century between apostles. It didn't break that tie that they had. Paul withstood Peter to the face, it tells us in the book of Galatians. Well, they still got along. Peter wrote nice things about Paul later on. Some things he wrote are hard to say or hard to understand. But he didn't turn his back. It's the kind of tie that's not compatible with this world. In fact, it literally is the kind of tie that can't be separated by death. Death does not break this beautiful tie that binds. And consider what the tie that binds actually is. Let's be thinking about that. I'd like you to look in the book of Colossians with me tonight. as we begin this lesson, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. And we're going to just hear a little bit about this wonderful thing, blessed be the time. In verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If any has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things," here's the tie, "put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which you also were called in one body, and be thankful." This love, the kind of love that God taught us. Brother Randy talked about that this morning in the book of Thessalonians, when he wrote, read the words of Paul, who said that, you know, as for godly love, nobody has to teach it, because we have this through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not something that's easily broken, as we read there in verse 14. You put on love, it is the bond. You know, I owned a business called All Wood Products. I built custom furniture. That's where I cut my finger off, if you've heard me say that before. Custom furniture. And you know what? When I first started working with wood, I used this yellow stuff, Elmer's glue. And it was pretty good. And then they came out with the darker yellow stuff. And now we have something called Gorilla Glue. That's serious stuff. I mean, you use that. They actually use that building streets. They put the metal reinforcement rods into the concrete as they drill holes, and they put Gorilla Glue in there, and that's what holds them in. God's love is not easily broken, much stronger than Elmer's or Gorilla Glue or any other 5-minute bond epoxy. It doesn't matter. This love, this tie that we have together, it's amazing. And so think of that love that comes from God, the love of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. We think of those words as we think about the love of God. Let's read those. I think it would be good. 1 John chapter 4. He writes here, John says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has manifested, that in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, ought we to love one another." Just amazing. And it's love learned from the examples of Christ. In 1 John chapter 3 at verse 16, John writes, "And a new commandment I give you from Jesus, love." Right? A new commandment. "That you love one another as I have loved you," Jesus said. "Also that you love one another. By this, they will all know that you are my disciples." What? If you love one another. That tie. In the Boy Scouts, we tied knots. And the neat thing about a Boy Scout knot, a sailor's knot, any kind of knot that's a good knot, is there a good knot is a knot that you can tie it up and you can make it tight, but you can get it apart real easy. A bad knot, you tie it and you can chew on it with your mouth and your teeth and it doesn't come apart. But God's knot, this tie, this binding love, it's not made to come apart. The tie that we're talking about involves that kind of love. It's uniquely Christian. It's patterned after Jesus Christ. That love of God. And so those are the examples that we have. And love is the kind of love that we serve one another as disciples. A new commandment, he says, I give you. That's what Jesus tells us there in John 13. A new commandment. And he says, by that they'll know. They'll know if you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. So the tie involves love that is uniquely Christian. Another thing is that the fellowship of kindred minds is like that above. That's that first verse in the song. You know, this involves unity. Fellowship of kindred minds. Like that above. You know, a little bit here, we're going to look at John 17, verses 20 and 23. What did John, or Jesus, in that chapter, he prayed for himself, he prayed for the disciples, he prayed for all mankind. And as you think of John and what Jesus said there, he was praying for unity for us all. John 17, chapter 17, verse 20 and 23. He says, in them and in you, in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. That's the tie. It involves unity of mind. You know, Philippians 2 and 2, Paul says, fulfill my joy, be like-minded, have that unity of mind, that one-mindedness. And that's how we do that, through the Scripture, through the Word of God. You know, if there's any threat to unity, it needs to be stopped. If there's any threat, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, or 1, verse 10, it was Paul who said, now I plead with you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things. You be of one mind. Let there be no divisions among you. Be perfectly fit or joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Don't let anything come between us. That's the tie that seeks to emulate the unity between God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, the Son. And we all can have that. That bind that ties us together, binds us stronger than any kind of glue. That binding thing is love and unity together. And Christ made that possible. He made that possible. He manifested it. He illustrated that. As we look at the remaining verses of the song, the very second verse, before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Another thing that binds us together is praying for one another. Praying, period, end, is a very powerful thing. We are so immensely blessed to be able to turn to God in prayer. A privilege enjoyed by Christians. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, and at verse 14, seeing that we have such a great high priest. We're talking about Jesus who's passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to the confession of our faith. For we do not have a high priest that cannot sympathize. Jesus, he experienced all the same kinds of things, the same weaknesses. He was tested in all the same kind of points, and yet without sin. And you know what? Because of him, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. That's a privilege. And you look at the latter part of that verse, for verse 14b, as we look at that, it's a privilege and a great blessing because we obtain mercy, we find grace, and a help in a time of need. So you just can't pass up the idea that God has given us this wonderful thing. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Prayer is a powerful thing. Extremely powerful. Be anxious for nothing. We've talked about that in the Wednesday. Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer. You know, praying to one another. James chapter 5 at verse 16. We think of praying to one another and for one another. Confess your trespasses one to another, he says, and pray for one another that you may be healed. Prayer. In Acts chapter 12, we think of Peter, when Peter was in prison, what did the people? They all were in that house fervently praying. And guess what happened? The angels dropped them chains off of Peter. He was chained to a guard. He dropped them chains. They opened the gates. Peter just went on out, knocked on the door. Nobody believed it was him. They thought it was his ghost. Prayer, powerful. And when we think about prayer, you know, we have to realize that when we pray for one another, we're talking power. In Acts chapter 1 at verse 14, these continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. The early church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. The early church. Acts chapter 12, of course, when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And when he had come to the end of those days, he departed and went on our way, and we all and they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city and knelt down on the shore and prayed. You see, that's part of the bind. We have a bind in unity, we have a bind in love, and we have a bind in our prayer lives. And such prayer is something that benefits us. It benefits others and it strengthens us. It's that tie that binds. You know, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares, the song says. And we have similar concerns and desires. Some because we're simply fellow humans in this world. We can have compassion for one another. Sickness, when somebody's sick and somebody's dying, you know, we're going to have worries, but we can find great comfort together in the Spirit of God. We desire to be healthy, you know, wealthy, sick, dying. We don't want any of that, but we want to be able to enjoy the comforts of life. Some people in this time especially are fearing joblessness, worrying about where they're going to pay their next bill. And yet we can be a comfort to those people as we seek to have that binding tie between us. Others, because we are fellow citizens in the kingdom. We share the hope of the resurrection, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That binds us. We're all thinking the same thing. Come Jesus. Quickly come Jesus. We know that He was raised the third day from the dead. We know that He ascended up into heaven and He sits at the right hand of God. And those things bind us together. Nobody can take that from us. We share in the struggles against temptation and persecution because of the power of God. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking to devour whom he may, the Scripture says. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that by the same sufferings, that everybody's experienced the same thing. We have unity because we're together in this battle against the devil for our souls. So we have a lot in common. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. Not just because of our humanity or our human nature, but also because we are partakers of the divine nature. Grace and peace. Those are things that we have together in Christ. Peter wrote of those in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. And he didn't just say grace and peace. He said grace and peace be multiplied. Multiplied. We have that. That's what binds us together in Christ. We have the exceedingly great and precious promises from Jesus Christ our Lord. Those are things that were given us. Those are things that we are partakers of by the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world. Together, we're bound together. And we need to hang on to those truths. Our shared experiences, you know, by our spiritual blessings strengthen. They strengthen that tie. as we depend upon one another, lean upon one another, pray for one another, be united with one another, the same mind, the same faith, and we have love for one another. All that binds us together in a knot that can't be broken. In a knot that with a glue of the love of Christ and God and all these great and it just binds you together. And we need to hang on to those great, great truths. And we do have mutual problems as we go. We share our mutual woes, the song says, our mutual burdens bear. As Christians, we are to bear one another's burdens. Paul wrote about that in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. You know, brother, if a man is overtaken in a fault or a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, he says, lest also you be tempted. We need to make sure that we've got each other's back, so to speak, because that's all part of this tie. When we're here for one another, when we're carrying one another's burdens, bearing one another's burdens, as Paul put it, we fulfill the law of Christ. And when you think about that, fulfilling the law of Christ, you can't really get much better than that. Not on this earth. In times of spiritual weakness, we should be there for one another. In this particular time, we're having many, many members all throughout this nation, all throughout the world that are being at home instead of in worship. They're not feeding as we are together here. And so we should be very concerned about those brothers. We should be the ones that are praying for one another. We should be the ones that are remembering the prisoners as if chained together with them, as Paul put it, the writer of Hebrews, he put that in times of weakness or persecution, we need to be so close to one another spiritually that we're like chained together in any kind of troubles. Because that's the tie, the bind, the blessed tie that binds. In times of physical need, we need to provide for one another. Pure and undefiled religion is this, that you visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep yourself unspotted from the world. Be pure in your faith. Be pure in your religion. That'll be strengthening that bind. Manifested in such ways that the tie we have in Christ, truly, truly a blessing in itself. The third verse, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. Think of that. Blessed God Almighty who wept at the tomb of Lazarus. It's God Himself who stores up our tears in a bottle. He knows. And as children of God, we need to be the kind of people that know the sorrows for one another. You know, our presentable parts have no need, but you know, God composed the body of the believers here, the body of Christ, the church, that having greater honor are the parts that lack. And so in order to avoid schisms, we need to be members of one another, taking care for one another. We need to be able to suffer with one another and understand the pains of one another. That's why Jesus came into the world, so he would be able to sympathize with us. Could we do any less? We need to weep with those who weep, Paul said in Romans. It's an emotional, but a very effective demonstration of that bond, that glue that we share. You know, the final description here is the fourth verse. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. You know, think about that. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. That tie is such a having a departure from one another. It should bring us pain. The examples of Paul and the Ephesian elders. Remember what happened there? Paul, you know, he's going to go to Rome and possibly die, and they're hugging him, they're hanging on his neck, and their tears are pouring out. And being separated like that is something that we should, as brothers and sisters in Christ, feel pain. And so they kissed him. They sorrowed. They cried because they were worried they wouldn't see his face anymore. And so, and they accompanied him right. They walked with him side by side right up to the ship. You know, they get on that boat and just can't stop waving until he's completely gone and out of sight. Never experienced such pain like that. Well, if that's the case, maybe perhaps we need to examine the tie that we have with our brethren. But it says we shall join in heart and hope to meet again. You know, we might be separated in the flesh. That happens. We've had members of our body, the members of the church, members of our family, people that we've known all around the world that have just passed on. I've been thinking about that a lot in the last few days. And it hurts to let them go. But at the same time, we rejoice because we know where they're going. Colossians 2:5, Paul says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit." And so we can have that separation, but we can still be bound together in the Spirit, in the good order, the steadfastness of faith, he says. And we are comforted by a very wonderful hope. What is that hope? There's 1 Thessalonians. If we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. This is great. The Apostle Paul here, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will remain shall be caught up together in the cloud with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." And why is that a comfort? Because it's a tie that binds us. 1 Peter, he tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us." How? Again, to a living hope, a tie that binds through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know he lives. Together, we have that. Never experienced that kind of pain I asked earlier? Well, if losing a brother or sister in Christ doesn't bother you, and I'm not talking about death. We know that people die. We know that they go to that eternal rest. I'm talking about losing them because of trouble or disunity or because they're moving away. That's something that we... We need to examine our own tie with them in those cases. That's the hope that keeps our hearts together with a bond that never fails. The bond that never fails is the bond of love, the bond of unity, the bond of prayer. All these things are the things that will keep us together. You know, we beyond all these things, Paul writes, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Blessed be the tie that binds. It's a very beautiful thing, a very beautiful song with very beautiful principles. They express how many Christians truly fuel one another with love, fuel one another with unity, fuel one another with prayer. They consistently support one another, carry one another's burdens. It describes the blessings of those who have been added to the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and verse 47. Those are the people that have this great, great blessing, who are diligent in preserving the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Blessed be the tie that binds. You know, are you doing your part? We should think about that. Are we doing our part? Are we bound together and so tightly that nothing can break that bond? We can always do better. But beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. That's the lesson. If anybody has any need whatsoever, whether to come forward and get the prayers of the church or whether to repent of your sins and be baptized, to put on that bond and begin that powerful walk with Jesus, today's the day to do that. You can come forward now as we stand and as we sing.